Hey, what's going on, everybody? Today, the pleasure to chat with American singer-songwriter and American Idol Season 21 contestant Elise Christine. In this newest episode, Elise talks about the start out to her career, experience on American Idol, love for musical theater, Phantom of the Opera, receiving praise from Andrew Lloyd Webber, something simple that makes her smile, a moment where she felt secondhand embarrassment, a chance she wishes she took, shows a movie she's watching, guilty pleasures, and more. Now, with that being said, I'm hoping to join a conversation with
Elise.
Elise. Hello. I mean, it's so great to chat with you. It's I know it's a whirlwind of a moment for you to just settle back in from American Idol and getting back to normal life, as they would say. Just talk to me about or walk me through that sort of the experience of American Idol and then kind of now finding yourself back at home and getting back to the regular schedule, as they would say.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of weird because you do this huge thing on TV and it's like this once in a lifetime opportunity, and then all of a sudden you're thrust very quickly back into real life. And so a lot of the times it feels like it didn't even happen, like it feels like it was all a dream and that I just woke up and I was like, oh, that was really awesome. And so it just doesn't even feel real some of the time.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's got to be a lot of things that stuck out to you from your time on American Idol. If there was one thing that you kind of would take away from it, what would that one thing be?
Oh, that's so hard because there's so many things that you take away. And it's not like, for me at least, it wasn't like one big thing that I took away and I was like, oh my word, this one big thing. To me, it was a lot of little things that had a huge impact on me. So I don't think I could say that there was one big thing. You learn a lot about the industry and, I guess that would probably be the biggest thing is just how much I learned about how the industry works and all the amazing people that you meet as well.
And what would you say would be like the biggest thing you've learned in your time with American Idol?
The biggest thing I've learned, probably, I would say it teaches you a lot about yourself. And so I would say I learned how to be self-confident and assured of myself. That's what I would say that it taught me the most.
And I mean, you've got to also make a lot of friendships along the way with the contestants, and you're very clear about that when you make posts about Instagram and stuff like that, and we see that on social media. And I have to touch on the picture with Mary Beth Bird. We have to talk about that. I cannot pass up on that one. I mean, it just seems like you're the motherly figure there. What is going on in that picture?
It's so funny. No, we became best friends. It's so funny because we met during our audition week. We auditioned in the same place and we met there, but we didn't really like talk to each other. Like it was very much a meeting in passing. And we have a picture of it, and it's so fun. We'll refer back to it and we'll be like, we don't remember that. But when we really met and started connecting was at the very beginning of Hollywood Week. And by the end of Hollywood Week, we were like best friends, and we've been best friends through the entire experience. I love her to death. She's so much fun, and she's so funny. I love her.
I mean, it's very clear in I guess the experience with American Idol and your whole thing with music and talking about music. I mean, how did you first begin with music? Was that just always around the house for you, or was that something you picked up later in life?
Yeah, definitely. I'm my whole family loves music. We love, singing and playing instruments. And so I've been surrounded by music my whole life, and I've sung since I was basically 3. And I did musical theater growing up. I did gigs growing up. I sang in church all the time. Like I was always doing something music related, and I've always loved it. So I want to continue it.
What was it about the musical theater that sort of, I guess, resonated with you the most, and that's basically what you wanted to do?
I did a lot of musical theater growing up, and I loved it because, well, one, I was a very hyper and rambunctious child, and my parents were like, oh my word, she needs an outlet of something because this, like, oh my goodness. So, and I just loved being on stage, and I loved, as a kid, I loved being just over the top and singing my heart out and telling a story through the music. And every time you're in a show, it feels like a family, the way you connect with everybody. And so I've always just loved that aspect of it.
Absolutely. And I just had on Hannah Nicolais and just recently on the podcast. And we talked about the musical, I guess the music business as a whole, and we talked about genres. And we talked about comparisons of Kelsea Ballerini and Taylor Swift, what makes them different from each other and what makes them similar to each other. And we talked about how Taylor Swift does change genres from time to time. She was country to begin with because she was basically in Nashville. And then she kind of started that way, and then she kind of moved into this more pop world. But you're also seeing like songs like Shake It Off, You Need to Calm Down. Like there's so many different layers of genres in those songs. Like Shake It Off, like you can call it a pop song, but for some people, I think that's like a dance EDM song to me. Because there's levels of like different things that you hear in the music. But you also think that, okay, yeah, it is pop because that's what she's known as. But it's not like that's what really defines what she makes nowadays. I mean, now when you think about your music, when you're making music in the future or currently making music, what do you think of when you make those types of projects?
Like when I'm making music, what am I thinking of, kind of thing?
Like what's your, I guess, the premise behind your music? What do you want your music to sound like? Is there a specific thing that you want it to, that you want people to listen to and then take away and say, that's exactly what I want her music to sound like? When you're making music, what do you look for, I guess?
It's hard to say because I haven't written a lot. Like, I'm still learning kind of how to write and still kind of dabbling in it. And I'm still super young and like learning how to find my sound and what art, like my artistry looks like for me. And so it's hard to say now for sure what that will kind of look like because there's still so much to grow and so much to experiment with. And right now, I don't really know exactly where it's headed, but I'm just keep taking those steps towards it. So it's hard to say now, but one day in the future we'll figure it out.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to also we've talked about musical theater, but you also found this, I guess, this niche for doing Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
And that's what I found really interesting about you. And obviously Andrew Lloyd Webber complimented you for doing that, and he said you make it look so easy. And that's not an easy song to sing. It really isn't. Phantom of the Opera is a great, just a great musical, a great Broadway film. I mean, what was it about the Phantom of the Opera that really stuck out to you?
I've always loved the movie and I've loved the musical and loved the music. Like, I think it's some people would say that it's kind of like a creepy kind of premise to the story, and they have a point, but for some reason it just totally piques my interest. And I just like the music is stunning and the visuals of the movie are stunning, and I've always loved it. It's always been one of my favorite musicals, and I grew up singing musical theater and singing like opera, so I'm very like classically trained. And so I've always kind of found myself drawn to like that kind of thing.
Absolutely, and I think that's what I like about Broadway's or musical songs, I guess, when there's like a climax to the music or a climax to the song where it climbs in a whole different level, and it goes from one level to level two to level three, and then it goes up all the way into the peak level, and that's what I really love about Phantom of the Opera. Andrew Lloyd Webber, who's done a fabulous job of making that soundtrack and everything with the film
He's
itself. I mean, he's a genius. And I mean, we have a lot to talk about other than the Phantom of the Opera. I want to go back to American Idol because I mean, there's we I had Emma Busey on as well on the podcast,
saw, yes.
and we had some fun talking about American Idol, but I didn't really want to talk about American Idol with her because I wanted to talk about, what you don't see on American Idol.
The behind the scenes,
Yes,
yes.
the behind the scenes, and we're gonna get into that now. I mean, what do people not see on TV when the camera shut off and it goes on to break?
A lot of waiting. That's what I would say. There's so much waiting. You wait to be called to do shooting or any kind of filming or a rehearsal, but there's a lot of just kind of waiting around. It's kind of interesting. It's a lot more than anyone would ever think. But it's also kind of fun because that's the time that you get to really bond with your fellow contestants and film stuff and content and things like that. And so it's really fun, but that is something that I don't think a lot of people would realize. Is that you're waiting a lot?
I mean, it's got to be just really exhausting and draining to be part of American Idol and all these big TV shows that are out there. It's got to weigh a lot on you and weigh a lot on your shoulders, and it's got to be exhausting, as I said. I mean, if there was one exhausting point where you just kind of almost lost it for yourself, what would that moment be?
Oh, I know exactly. Oh my goodness. Hollywood Week is so hard and it's super hardcore. It's super cutthroat. They go from I think honestly, there's so many people that arrive at Hollywood Week. I think, I don't know exactly the number, but I want to say it was 150 to 200 people, if not more, give or take, that arrived. And by the end of those 2 weeks, it's down to 26. It's insane. And there's three rounds. And so the one that I had the most, that I struggled with the most were the performance round and the duet round. I remember being super exhausted for the duet rounds because, they have it set up in a way where you're not supposed to get any sleep and you're supposed to be really stressed out. And it's true. And so I remember just having a little bit of a mental breakdown before my duet, and then I remember crying after I got my first yes for the performance round. I remember getting done and just bawling because I was just so relieved and happy that I had just made it. But yeah, Hollywood Week for sure, for sure, for sure.
And what do you do when you have moments like that where you're cracking down under pressure and you're being hard on yourself, and what do you do to escape that?
That's a really good question. Sometimes it's hard to escape it by yourself. Sometimes when you're just in that much of a funk, it's difficult to reel yourself back. And so it's at that point where I feel like a lot of the time you need other people to kind of be there for you and tell you that you're meant to be here and that you belong and that you are good enough. And so I was lucky to have really good people around me and that I trusted and felt comfortable with, and we were all in the same boat. We were all feeling the pressure. And so, people would talk to me and we'd pray together a lot. There were a lot of prayer circles that went on, which I loved. And I would call my dad sometimes if I was just feeling really like I needed somebody to lift me out of this because I couldn't lift myself out of it. And so, yeah, definitely going to the people around you and just talking with them, and a lot of them were going through the same thing too, so it didn't feel like you were alone either.
Absolutely. And I mean, I guess there's got to be moments where even when it's feeling like you're under pressure and you're having moments of that nervous breakdown or that anxious feelings. I mean, I talked with this about I talked to Emma Busey about this as well. What does she do when she has moments like that? And I asked her about, I know we can say that, like, it's hard to deal with anxiety as one person, and let alone doing it together. And that could also be a struggle as well, even if you're doing it together. But I asked her about, like, do you ever just go outside and go for a Starbucks run, Do you ever just go for like food and just to calm your nerves a little bit and to come back and come back to, I guess, come back to earth with
Yes.
everything? I mean, what are some of the guilty pleasures that you're currently, I guess, gravitating towards right now?
Oh God, that's a good question. Oh my goodness, what are my guilty pleasures? Like my coping guilty pleasures?
It could be both. I mean,
Oh, golly, it's interesting because coming back, I've like tried to make so many like changes in my life and like not give into those guilty pleasures, you know, and kind of like create new habits. But I would say, oh, this is so hard. I've never actually thought about this before. I would say definitely eating a lot of junk food is definitely a guilty pleasure of mine. I have a really big sweet tooth.
do you want to elaborate? Do you want to elaborate on what those junk foods are?
Oh, like chocolate galore. I love chocolate so much, and so I'll just like it's too much. It's too much and it's bad. But definitely chocolate and like watching movies is so weird for me. Like I love if I'm like really overwhelmed or stressed, I often, you know, it's kind of like a form of escapism for me to go watch, you know, TV shows or movies just to kind of put myself in a different world, you know, and I think that's a really common form of escapism for people, and that's my probably biggest one is that I just like to watch like media, and I've always loved film and TV and stuff, so I definitely do that a little too much when I'm a little too overwhelmed and stressed.
I mean, do you want to elaborate also on the TV shows or movies that you're binge watching right now that help you cope with different things?
It's interesting because I'll like jump between a lot. Currently I'm watching Bridgerton currently. And I love action and adventure stuff, so like Marvel movies and Marvel TV shows. Yeah, anything where they're like fighting awesome dudes and there's like a lot of explosions and cool stuff like that. I love anime as well. I'm a huge nerd. It's probably a problem at this point. I love anime and I watch it all the time. And so, yeah, I'm currently watching Demon Slayer, right now, and I'm almost done with that and I love it. So, yeah, I'm a huge nerd for that kind of thing.
I will be honest, I do not like anime.
Really? Why?
No, I just don't. It's the most annoying and boring thing you can ever watch on TV.
Boring,
Okay,
boring,
okay,
bro.
okay. So here's a story, a quick little backstory on anime and why it's, you know. So when I was in middle school, there was a thing called Anime Club in one of the classrooms.
Sorry.
And it would be done every lunch hour, and people would go to this classroom and watch anime. So even though I didn't even like anime back then, and
Yeah.
so I just wanted to just experience it
Okay.
once, just give myself an opportunity to do it at least once. I go into that classroom and I'm thinking that this is going to be a whole lot of boring people watching anime, and come to find out, one to two people are watching it. The rest are playing ping pong, and nobody's watching it except for like one or two people, which I give them credit for to watching it, but nobody cared about it really. I mean, it's okay. First and foremost, I don't think you should call it anime club. Like it's basically like Breakfast Club. It's basically just play whatever game you want. You don't
Yeah.
care. It's lunchtime. Nobody has time for that.
Yeah. Okay,
And I
question.
okay, yes.
Question. Do you watch it in dubbed or subbed?
I don't know if they watched it in subbed or not. I'm not sure.
Okay, you have to watch it with the Japanese voices and in subtitles. Like, I'm sorry, I cannot for the life of me watch it dubbed. Like, it doesn't do the same thing. Like, it just, no. No, I refuse to watch any anime dubbed ever at all. No. So maybe
Yeah.
that's why. Maybe you need to watch it with subtitles and it's way cooler.
Well, I think my cousin or sister, she watches it a little bit, and she's gotten into the habit of watching it. I remember, and yeah, she's not gonna like this. But yeah, I mean, listen, I don't have problems with people who watch anime. Like, good for them. I've
I
like I look, listen, I'm not one of those people that hate on people who watch anime. I really don't. I understand people's preferences and respect that, but it's
Yeah.
just I just feel people have different things that they gravitate towards.
Yeah.
And I will be honest. Okay, here's something I'll admit. Here's something I watch that I think it's for me, I think it's more of a throwback thing.
Okay.
I like to watch Victorious and iCarly reruns.
Oh my word, yes.
That's something
Okay.
that's something that I can like vouch for,
Okay.
because like, okay, I don't watch it on a consistent basis. I watch it like occasionally. Like, I'm like, just give myself some time. If I'm going through like a rut or something, I like to just turn it on and then have a laugh or two about it, and then go back to whatever I was doing before that. It's more, I guess, more like a coping mechanism, rather than, just watching it because, you're an adult, but whatever.
But whatever.
I can't lie. I can't lie about different things. And I mean, if there's okay, I'm gonna pose you a challenge here.
Okay. Oh, I'm ready. Come at me.
If there was one lie that you haven't told anybody that you have lied about, what would that be?
Oh my goodness. Where are you getting these questions?
I don't have questions laid down. I just generally like flow right off the top.
Dang, get it. Okay. A lie that I like haven't told anyone that I've told before.
Like, what's a lie that you've hidden for so long that you haven't told anybody yet?
Oh my word, I don't even know. I don't even know if I have one off the top of my head. Like, I try to be very honest, and I am a very like honest and somewhat blunt person. Like, I'll just tell you how it is. I'll be really straight up. So I don't even know. Like, oh my gosh. I can't think of one big one. Like, there's like little ones, you know, when like I don't know, when you tell someone that they look great in something when they don't, and but you don't want to hurt their feelings, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, I can't think of a big one. I really can't. I would have to sit with that question, like sit and think about it, 'cause I don't know. So I'll give you. That's what you get.
Okay, so here's also a little thing that I found funny. I was watching this TikTok of this one comedian, and her name's Hannah Burner. If people who do not know Hannah Burner, she's hilarious.
Yeah.
So she's going out into the street and she's interviewing just guys in general,
Yes, I know who she is.
and she asked the question, "What gives you the icks about girls? What icks?" And this guy, the first guy that answered, he says, "I don't like girls who say, 'Oh my God,' who end the sentence with 'uh,' instead of like anything else." It's like I guess when you hear like girls like make like dramatic, I guess
Yeah,
like
I get
I impressions is like, "Oh my God, like it's not a word, it's really not a word. Oh my God, that is
that.
not
That's
a."
such a specific ick of his. That's so like exact thing.
I mean, if there's any X that you have, what are they?
Oh golly, I should write these down. Like it's about dudes.
Or anything. I don't know.
Anything? We gotta formulate like a where we're going here. We gotta have something specific. Is it about dudes or is it about anything else?
I mean, it could be about really anything. It doesn't really have to be about guys. I mean, if you'd want to put it towards guys, then yeah, I guess.
Okay. I guess a big ick about like dudes and people is when like they try to be something they're not. And they're doing it really poorly, and you can see right through it. And you're like, I know that that's not really who you are. And I know you're just putting on a front to like look cool or whatever. That kind of thing irks me so much because, like, I just think it's dumb how, like, you would try so hard to be this other version that's like not even good. Like they try to be like cool and like they don't care and they're like, yeah, whatever. And that goes for like just anyone in general. And I'm like, I know you care. I know you have feelings. I know you don't actually think that way about that. Why are you like trying to be this other person? Like it's so annoying. I'm like, just be yourself. Like there's so many people in the world. You don't need to be like them. Be like you, okay? And we appreciate you for who you are. It drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. I'm like, just be yourself. Like, we will love you. Just be yourself. You know? That's probably my biggest one, I would say. Yeah.
I feel you should just write a song about it.
I should. Honest, I have so much like pent up anger about it. I should.
I mean, you should. I mean, you look like you have a lot of stories in you that you can write a song about and write an album about.
Probably could. I'm experimenting with it right now, for sure.
I mean, you're definitely like channeling your inner angst, I guess. Your inner Alanis Morissette, I would say. So here's the thing that I want to do with you because I'm having a blast here chatting with you already. And you're probably one of the most energetic people I've chatted with that I've done on this podcast.
I get
So
all the time that I need to chill out, and I'm really bad at chilling. So, you know.
why do you say you're bad at chilling?
I don't know. I just get really excited really easily and really fast. And then I'm like a whole freaking golden retriever chihuahua person. And people are like, girl, I need you to chill. And I'm like, I don't know how. So.
I mean, that's totally okay. I mean, that's who you are, and that's what makes you unique. And so with that being said, we're gonna play a game here, and it's called it's gonna it's called it's called How Deep Will You Go?
Oh no. Okay, I'm ready. I'm
There's three levels to it. Level one is icebreakers, level two is confessions, and level three is getting deep. Level one icebreakers, your question is,
Okay.
what's something simple that makes you smile?
Something simple that makes me smile. Ooh, that's such a cute question. Something simple that makes me smile. It's very, very simple. And I feel like it'd be overlooked a lot, but like, it's honestly, when I'm hanging out with people that I genuinely love, and sometimes I like am a little quieter and I don't want to talk. And it's some like I just love sitting there and watching everybody else talk and have a great time and just like sitting in that the presence and the environment of that like joy. Like it's kind of hard to describe, but it's like I don't need to be saying anything at all, and sometimes I'm not. I'm just observing like the conversation and the people and the whole moment that we're in, and I'm just like admiring and you know, marinating in that moment. And it's very simple, but it makes me smile a lot. And it's one of those things that when it happens, I like say in my head, I'm like, you need to remember this and you need to like always keep this memory close to you because, you know, you love it so much and it makes you so happy. So I would say that, yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't mind me asking this question, because something that you just said really stuck out to me. I mean, you just talked about, I guess, the memory that you kind of hold close to you. I mean, if there was one thing that you've, or one memory that you can hold close to your heart now, from American Idol, I guess, what would that one thing be?
I think it would probably be that, like just moments where I was with the contestants or I was with the producers or just like a lot of people and, you know, everyone else was talking and having fun and or eating or whatever. And I was just there and maybe I was like, I was quiet, but I was just observing. It's those moments that I feel like are so powerful and, you know, because it forces me to kind of like take myself out of myself and just like be in the moment. And so moments like that, I would say were probably my favorite. That and being on stage. I love being on stage. So yeah.
All right, so we're gonna blast through these last two. Level two is confessions.
Okay.
When is the time you felt the most secondhand embarrassment?
Oh God, secondhand, not just embarrassment, secondhand embarrassment.
Secondhand embarrassment.
Ooh, dang it, 'cause I can think of a lot of times where I was freaking embarrassed, but secondhand embarrassment. Oh my word, I don't even know. These are specific. Good glory. Secondhand embarrassment. I literally cannot even think of one. I don't even know. Like, probably when I see someone do something like cringy in front of a lot of people, I would say, but I don't have a specific memory of like a specific person doing that, but I just know that I've seen it. Where it's like they just do something super cringy and weird on stage in front of a ton of people, and it's just, it hurts to watch. So I would say that. Yeah.
All right, level three. It's getting deep, and here's your question. What's a chance you wish you took?
Ooh. A chance I wish I took. That is so good. I don't even know. I would say it's not a specific chance, but it's more like broad spectrum. I wish that I had been a bit more open with letting people in, like letting people see who I really am and develop relationships with them. I feel like a lot of times I can get like, I'm super extroverted and out there. And I love people and I love meeting new people so much, but at the same time, I'm also very guarded. And I have a lot of walls up about like very personal stuff and very deep stuff. And throughout my life, I feel like I've always kind of had those walls and I've only let people see like what I want them to see or like a little bit of me. And so, yeah, I wish I'd just been a bit more open to other people and let them in a little bit more. That was deep. Dang. Okay. But yeah, I would
Here's
say that.
another deep question that just came to my mind. I'm not even looking. I don't even have this written down anywhere, because you just made a really good point. When you're talking about, I guess, letting people in, are you talking about transparency to get people into you, or is it, I don't know how to really phrase this question. I mean, letting people in, I guess that's a vague way of saying the transparency, I guess. Is that what you're portraying, I guess, or trying to acknowledge people, or that, talk to me about what you meant by letting people in. Was it just about
Yeah.
transparency?
It's just kind of about like not judging yourself, kind of, and understanding that there will be people who are gonna love you for who you are, and I mean like the deep-rooted version of who you are. And so understanding that and then taking the steps to let those people in. And I feel like as I get older and I start to kind of accept myself more and learn who I am more, I feel like that gets easier and better to let those people in, and knowing that you don't have to be alone and you don't have to struggle with things by yourself, and you're allowed to have moments of weakness and or a lot of time of weakness or whatever, and you're allowed to like need people and want people, and you're not a burden for that, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that no, that makes total sense. What I took away from that is basically just another way of saying not judging a book by its cover, rather than,
I
you know,
suppose.
like I guess that's the best way to take it, that way. I mean, here's the last question I want to ask you, before we end this off. I mean, this question I've asked it every single person that's come on this podcast, and it's given a challenge for people to answer this. But I've gotten some really good answers. So here's the question. If there was one person that is already in heaven that you would want to play a song with, who would it be and what song would you play?
Gosh, that's kind of a sad question. It can be anyone, like anyone,
It has to
ever.
be it has to be anyone who's already there.
Okay, who's in heaven? Anyone who's in heaven.
Yes.
This is so corny of me. It's so corny. But I don't care. I'm gonna say it anyway. I literally have idolized Whitney Houston since I was very, very young. I've idolized like her voice and the way she sings and the way that she performed. Like I adore her and I grew up listening to her. And I always wished that like I would have been able to meet with her one day and sing with her, but she sadly, passed away, when I was pretty young. So if I could sing with anybody, I would love to sing with Whitney. I don't know if I could hold a candle to her, because she's incredible, but like all those logistics aside, I would probably want to sing with Whitney. And we would probably sing I Will Always Love You because that is her biggest song yet, even though it was written by Dolly Parton. But, and I will always love her. So I would probably say that. It's so corny and I don't care. So
Whitney is a legendary
epic.
artist. Whitney is a legendary artist, so that is understandable. Quick answer to this question. If
Yeah.
you were to, it, when you're looking at the top 10 of American Idol now, and you had to choose who that winner would be, who would that be for you?
Oh my goodness, you can't ask me that question.
Well, I
That,
already did, so.
oh golly, I would, you know what? I think genuinely that all of them have the potential and that all of them deserve it, and all of them, I've seen how hard all of them have worked for it, how hard all of us have worked for it. And so, like, all of them deserve it. That's the thing. And, like, I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know because America is very unpredictable and you never know what they're gonna say or do or want, But I'm rooting for all of them and I love all of them. Like family, because you literally become a family when you're on this show. So that is my answer. That is my answer. You don't get it one
Absolutely,
person.
absolutely,
You
and
get
that is
all of them.
and that is the right answer. Well, I mean, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. Yeah, it's such a blast. To the listener who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with American singer-songwriter, American Idol season 21 contestant Elise Christine. You can follow her on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and on TikTok and all that good stuff. You can also find me on all podcast streaming platforms and on social media. I've been your host, Shane Mikhail, saying thanks for tuning into the show.